William, hopefully your favorite videographer from Two Hats Publishing. I welcome you to another Two Hats special of community events. Let's look in and see what's really happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and Aaron. Since you've been married, Patty Fink has been here on time every single time. She is going to lose her radio name.
I took it away from her, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I'm just blaming
you. I have to explain to people
yes.
that I'm not dead. You know?
When she dies, she'll be known as the dead Patty Fink.
I know. I said it once. After I die, I'm going to still do the show.
Yeah, because you'll be late for your funeral, so you might as well come to the studio. Our guest today is Sheriff Lupe Valdez. Lupe, we've been kind of meaning to have you on for the last 12 years. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, please. Please. I didn't mess it up this time.
No.
Thank you very much.
But, I mean, for some reason, we just have never... We haven't connected. Every time we've spoken, we've said... Sure, I'll come on your show, just talk to my appointment secretary, and then we don't see each other, and we don't do that, but this time we did. So, glad to have you here.
Thank you for being on today.
Oh, please, it's my honor.
You've been sheriff 12 years now. When you ran, Dallas was a Republican county, and we had some real, conservative sheriffs.
In the past.
Whatever made you think that you could possibly, what made you think that you're running for sheriff as an open lesbian, as Hispanic, as a woman, wasn't one of the most ridiculous things that you had ever done in your life?
And who said I didn't think that?
Okay.
I just did it in spite of that. No, I honestly, I knew the department, and I know that leadership makes the difference. And the department will go wherever the leadership is. And I knew there was a lot of really neat people in the department, but they always have to follow the leadership. Whatever the leadership says, what they do. And now it's pretty much the other way around, you know. But there's still the people there that are still anti a lot of things. As a matter of fact, we were so disappointed when one of my opponents on the primary on the Republican side doing the transgender thing put a picture of a decap. Like I always have trouble with decapitation tool for animals. And that was his answer to the transgender. And we looked at it and said, oh my goodness, you know, they're still there and he's still in the department. But if he took the leadership, you can only imagine what would happen.
So has your style been like you should protect everybody?
Of course.
Imagine that.
Of course. Even, you know, we've protected the Klan. They have a right to demonstrate.
Sure.
As long as they don't cause issues or cause problems or hurt anybody, they have a right to demonstrate. So it's difficult for me to do that, but it's their right, so I still do it.
Sure.
And the neat thing is, on the other side, we can protect the transgender, the, you know, whatever. We can protect all of them and still...
Meaning everybody's just people.
God, what a neat concept.
Wow.
Revolutionary.
Yes, what a wonderful concept.
Your department has a history of really not being all that inclusive. Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, back in the early 90s, started doing... sensitivity training with the Dallas Police Department.
We call it LGBT
Department.
Cultural competency now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cultural competence. Okay.
Well, a couple of years after that, the Sheriff's Department thought, well, maybe that would be a good idea for us too. And I got involved in that. I went twice. And then they stopped it because it just wasn't working. We had a panel. It was an all-day panel. There was one person who was black, one person who was Hispanic. There was a woman and there was me. A couple of people on the panel didn't want to sit next to me. They were on the panel teaching diversity.
Wow.
Then as they were introducing each of us, they introduced me, and at the time I was on the board of the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, which is the Reform Judaism umbrella organization. Well, they heard Jewish, and they were shocked. There were Jews in Dallas County. The whole day, we never even mentioned the gay part. We never got off the Jewish part. I mean, really, Judaism in a city?
You know, and even when I started... there was a, I don't know if you all recall, there was a, an attempt to do an LGBT sensitivity class.
Yes.
And somebody stole a questionnaire and then went and said, look what the sheriff wants to do, wants to make us all gay. And I mean, obviously that's not, that wasn't the purpose.
So how successful have you been in turning your department gay?
Quite successful.
Good.
I'm just teasing. I'm just
Except
teasing.
That other part is what somebody will clip and use. Yeah.
Exactly. I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
But I'm just teasing. But I have been successful in letting people be who they need to be. I have a couple of transgender actually working for me, but not that many people know it. Because they just come in as themselves. When we do the background, of course we have to see their birth certificate and everything, and we're aware. And when it first came up, they're going, oh, sure, what we do. Just let it be. Just let them be who they need to be.
Is the person qualified? Yes.
Yes.
How about hire them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And even...
What do they do for a bathroom? Well, there's one down the hall. There's another one down that way.
What do you do for a bathroom in an airplane? I mean, there's all kinds of things.
You know what my answer to that whole bathroom thing is? Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous as bathrooms were transgender and both sexes are using? Yes, I grew up in a house with one of those.
Exactly, so did I.
Yeah.
You know, we all grew up in a house where everybody uses the same bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But the neat thing that I was going to say is that now people are comfortable in being themselves, and I have a couple of management that are openly gay. Mm-hmm. And they've been there for at least 20 years, and now they're comfortable in our sensitivity training.
Okay, so we're trying to wrap our brains around this. So somebody who's been there 20 years, did their job really well, got a promotion. Is that kind of how it worked?
Well, they went along doing their thing, and they got a promotion. But and now they will come out and say. And even at the neatest thing was the last time when one of our captains got promoted, he brought his partner. You know, which I thought
that's
really nice.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Compare that to what it was a couple of years ago, and I'm not pushing. Coming out and being gay. What I am pushing is let them be who they need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, we've hired a few Muslims. Let them be who they need to be and they'll do a better job for you. If you try to stifle them, they're not going to be at their best. So you let them be who they are and they do a good job for you.
You know, and you started in the class of 20, the small class of 2004, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you walked into a mess, a god-awful mess.
I did.
I don't think people new to the area or new to the city know just how bad it was.
Well, things like the prisons were a mess. And, I mean, the department...
Sanitation. Yeah. Sanitation was atrocious. You know, beating up inmates was even part of the culture. You know, inmates handcuffed, let's enjoy ourselves, you know? And that's... That has all changed now.
And the jails, I mean.
And the jails are clean.
Hours on
the
jails.
They don't smell. Yeah, we could do the whole hour on even the treatment of the mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
Or the transgender. The treatment of those two, how they're treated now, how they were treated 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different. And I continue to advocate that we need to treat people decently, professionally. We're not the judge. We're just there to safekeep them for when they do come before the judge.
When you first came on, what did you see as your biggest challenge?
Oh, my goodness. How many do you want?
There was
a whole list of medical, sanitation, culture differences, professional behavior, ethics. I mean, we found things that... officers could get arrested for. But we were so busy trying to clean up everything that it takes time to do a good case against an officer that it was just fire them. Just get them out of here. Let's just go on, try to clean up the rest of the stuff. Because there was so many things. And again, I could see that there was a lot of really decent people in the department. It was just the way they were going, the routes they were going down. So there still is a lot of wonderful people in the department. You give them the ability to be leaders and do good things, and they do them. You know, our inmate programs are even the volunteering that they do around helping the inmates is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the ability is there. Just give them the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I did a little homework. There's very few sheriffs, female sheriffs of major cities in America, but I can't find another Hispanic lesbian female sheriff.
I admit.
I thought so.
In the whole country.
I can't find another one.
Austin had one, or was she not Hispanic?
She wasn't Hispanic.
No, she was not.
No. Margo Frazier is not Hispanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lesbian, so, yes.
Yeah. So, when you first came on, did you find any pushback from, I'll say, some of your stereotypical men on the force? And what was that like?
A lot. It was scary sometimes. It was scary, but I honestly believe that the good people would come forward. And at one time, a couple of those even suggested that I have protection even at my house because they were so angry at me.
Wow.
And the anger was visible. It was, but they would never outright do stuff that you could fire them for. It was visible, but sliding right under.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have 6 or 8 or 10 of those coming at you at the same time, it gets really scary. And I will always go back to say the warrior is a child. You know, I am strong. I can face whatever, and then I go home and fall on my knees or ask for help or do whatever I need to do
now,
so that I can come back strong.
I remember what you did with some of those. You brought them into your office, didn't you? And
yes.
You said, I want to work with you.
Yes.
You did not attack them. What you said was, you have a job here.
Yes. Yes. And I often, when I tell that story, and when I tell about how I brought them in and I said, look, I want to work with you. I want to extend out the peace leaf, and I just want to work with you. But nothing changed. Nothing changed. It continued to try and find ways to attack me. I remember one incident during the Brady bills, the gun, back then even the gun bills, I sent a couple of captains out, I think it was to Richardson or Carrollton or somewhere out there, and I said, please take care of that meeting for me. They went over there, and after the meeting, they said to the folks there, don't worry, we're not going to let her do a thing. We're going to stop everything she tries to do. They said that to the congregation.
Wow.
And there was an officer in there who turned to the person and said, they can get arrested for that. And said, yeah, but they got to be caught. And they'll do everything outside. And then they would say, find the person who said that I said that. Nobody would step up.
Wow.
Because they were also afraid of them. So they would do all kinds of little things around to keep me from being successful, but never outright enough so that we can bring them up to internal affairs. Well, the internal affairs person was also involved. So you couldn't really do anything but continue to. And this is where I love to thank the voters. In 2008, if it hadn't been for the voters, the other side would have won. Uh-huh. They did everything they could to make me look bad. Everything they could. And they would go through the media daily. And I would say to the reporter, why do you take that story? Because if I don't, they won't bring me any more stuff. So he would put out all this stuff. And I kept thinking, my goodness, with all the stuff they put out, I'm never going to get reelected. But I went again. And this is where I love to thank the voters. By a large margin. This is where I love to thank the voters. Because if it hadn't been for the voters in 2008, they would have won. I remember someone said to me that one in that group said, after I won, blankety blank blank, she's going to be here till she wants to. You know, once you win the second one, and they put everything they could into that second one to keep me from being reelected. But thanks to the voters of Dallas County who see beyond that, who are intelligent enough and common sense enough that they saw beyond that, I was able to stay there and actually start the cleanup.
And that's what the thing was. It was, we had seen as citizens of Dallas County just all kinds of junk going on in the Dallas County Sheriff's Department. Because they were, you know, like, you know, hinky contracts for vending, and, you know, the jails were a mess and hadn't passed inspection. It was just junk. It was just, you know, stuff that we as citizens wanted to be taken care of. And you know it takes time. And you were just under heavy fire, like, every day.
Every day.
Unrelenting, just firing at
us. It was almost a joke.
When did a lot of that stop? Was it in your second term?
Once they saw that they couldn't get me out, mm-hmm. It was like, what are we trying to do anyway? We're trying to get her out of here and get our own back in. Mm-hmm. So if it's not going to work, a lot of that stopped. There's still some of it going on, but the major stopped because they couldn't, they lost. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of them, and we joke occasionally with the people and say they haven't realized they've lost. They still want to try some stuff. But, because of the voters, and it is both Democrat and Republican voters that could see past a lot of that stuff and continue to bring me in.
And this Lord knows 2012.
Yeah.
Here you come again.
Yeah, here I come again. And now 2016, here I am again.
Yeah.
Knocking on your door, asking for your support. But I love the fact that I have to account every 4 years. There's no sense of being in there if you're not going to be held accountable and do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Continue the progress, continue to do things, continue to do what is best for the whole. Because any decision I make, and I love to talk to people when they disagree, any decision I make, I don't care if it's a $5 an hour raise, somebody is not going to like it. Mm-hmm. That's not enough. It's more. It should be more. Or if I, you know, I don't care what you do, somebody's not going
to
like it.
Well, like the decision to bring Parkland Medical into the prison instead of bringing people, that was very controversial.
Yes.
And I don't know that there was a right or wrong. I think it's working very well. But
it's working great. It's working great.
But there's a difference between disagreeing with an approach, disagreeing with something to do, and saying, we're not going to let her win.
Exactly.
We're not going to let her get anything
exactly.
done. Because knowing you, like that, the Parkland Medical, bringing Parkland Medical into the prisons instead of bringing the prisoners to Parkland, had it not worked, so you would have changed it.
I would have changed it. And a couple of times in the beginning, when I tried to do something, I would say, let's try this for a year. If it doesn't work, we'll change it. No, but again, you know, it's
just practical sheriffing.
And we make mistakes. There's some programs that we started and said, ooh, that's not working. Let's push it off to the side.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Sheriff Lupe Valdez. She is in Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez, who's in her 10th term in office.
No, I'm not in my 10th
term. We got Angela Hunt to say that she would run for governor. So, no.
I'm not in my 10th term.
Yeah, she never did run, did she?
No, she didn't.
We'll have to get her back on to explain herself. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the early Patty Fink. That just doesn't work. We're going to have to fix that.
I'm Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly, Lauren.
Well, you can introduce everybody.
Oh, okay. I'm David Taffet. Lauren Landis has a question. Patty Fink is here, and we're here with Sheriff Lupe Valdez.
I might have a question later.
Well, I will get to you in just a moment, but we're very polite here, and we just go around the table. Dr. Landis?
Oh, I like that. Lupe, I just want to get your take on, you know, the dust-up, the recent dust-up now again about gun control or lack thereof. You know, in the space of this Orlando shooting, now they're saying gun sales are going up actually in the gay community. What do you think about that? You think that there needs to be some gun control, or particularly with the gay community? Should we actually go out and arm ourselves?
I think too many people run to what they think is going to be a solution that might actually be. There are more accidents in homes that have guns that don't know how to use them properly. I wish I'd brought the stats with me, but I don't have them with me. But there are quite a few more accidents by folks who run out and get a gun when they think that's going to be their solution, their savior. That's going to be their answer. And it ends up that it hurts in the home more than it helps. I think I don't have any problem with individuals owning weapons as long as they're responsible, as long as they have a background check. My officers have to qualify every single year, and they have to have a mental health, a psychological testing, and they have to.
I require that of my co-hosts.
Okay. What happened? No, I'm just teasing.
We have very low standards.
But we have to have all these things in order for them to carry a weapon. And we tell them that's not the answer. You know, that's your last resort. Often enough, people who don't have that training, that's their first resort. How many times have we heard of people getting shot in the freeway because they're upset that somebody cut them off? They certainly didn't get a psychological test to carry that weapon. I have no problem with folks owning weapons. This is Texas. You know, out in the rural, everybody has. There's some school districts that when the hunting season comes up, they have to close the school district. And
first day, deer season, you know.
You have, and you extend it at the end. So I don't have any issues with responsible gun ownership. But I do have an issue with people who refuse to have a background check, who want to buy an automatic weapon to go hunting. My goodness, what do you want to do? Chop up the meat as you shoot it? I mean, send it into pieces as you shoot it? I don't think there's any need for that. But I have no problem with responsible gun ownership.
And I'm glad you mentioned it. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that in terms of officers have to yearly go through a follow-up, some type of background check in order to maintain their weapon.
On the background check, it's not yearly. It's about every 5 years. But on the shooting, you have to be able to handle the weapon properly. For instance, if there's a crowd, you're not going to shoot because you may hit somebody else, and they have to go through all that training. And you have to be able to have a good shot before you take a shot. And a temperament. You have to be able to control, not wanting to reach for that first. And those are a lot of things that we put into place that is not put into place somewhere else. So I would be afraid to confront somebody who has had no training with a weapon, and my officers have.
Well, yeah, and what's frightening to me is, like, Trump this week said, or last week said, that it would be great if all those patrons in the bar at Paul's had weapons.
That's
really smart.
A lot of drunk people with weapons. Really smart.
Not only that, it's dark in there.
Yeah.
There's shooting, you know, everywhere.
Oftentimes we want to use that as a first answer. It's not the first answer. It's the last answer.
So when you heard that there were a couple of police officers, and I'm glad you're on today because first time we've had an officer on the show since Orlando. When you heard that there were two officers in the bar fairly early in that whole 3 hour period of time, and they didn't start shooting, that didn't surprise you, did it?
No, you have to have a good shot. Who are you going to hit?
See, I was listening to Donald Trump that they should have been shooting.
No.
just walk in and start fire.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They have to have a good shot. And in the dark, you don't know who it is doing the shooting.
Exactly.
You know, he takes a shot here, then moves over the other direction. You need to be able to know who it is, who's doing the shooting, not who they are, but who's doing the shooting. And you have to be able to have a clear shot at them before you take a shot, because what would happen if one of the officers had shot and actually killed one of the people in there?
And you know, that's one of the things they're actually investigating, to see if any of the shots that were fired by the officers, and really it's the gunman who's to blame for the whole incident.
Exactly.
And if somebody was killed by mistake by an officer's gun.
But that's, you know, and we do train. You have to have your shot. Mm-hmm. You have to know what you're shooting at. So, and
because it's life and death, literally.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you don't take out a gun unless you, you know, that person is not going to be around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it, we always say you have to be sure that person is not going to be around before you take your gun out. Because mm-hmm. that, you take it out as a last resort. If you want to do other than not have that person around, you go to other methods. But now, that's the last resort when that person will not be able to stand up again. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, I've been really shocked too by some of the reactions to Orlando. Shocked in a good way and shocked in a bad way. We've had such an outpouring of support and people who are come together and vigils and candlelight services and memorials. And I don't know if you saw the photos or the footage in Orlando itself. They had 50,000 people with candles lit. It's incredibly moving. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had one here and so many from, you know, local government and such. And then we've had these bozos on the other side. I mean, Trump's first response, in my view, was just sadistic. It was about him. He had no compassion, no expression of anything for the victims, for fellow Americans being killed, massacred, and then we get you hear from these lunatic pastors that, you know, say crazy things.
I said this at the convention, and I'll say it again. Toxic doctrine is not Christian, no matter how many Bible verses you wrap around it.
It's not any religion.
Any religion.
It's not any religion.
It's not Christian. Yeah,
it's not Muslim. It's not Jewish. It's Hindu. It's not any of them.
But I go on that because it's usually Christian folks that are standing up saying, you know,
right,
God took care of these people in God's way. That's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Are you going to say that about the child who died on the freeway because somebody hit them? I mean, that's God's way. No, it's not.
Or what about the children who were shot up a couple of years ago?
That's not school.
That's not. Yeah.
And so toxic doctrine is not God's way, no matter how much you Bible, scripture, whatever you wrapped around it. I don't believe that's true. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I honestly believe that to be a fact. And folks that are saying that are just not totally aware of God's voice.
Okay, so one of them that got national publicity, one of the two, there's one in Sacramento and there's one in Samson Park
in a tiny little town inside
Fort Worth. Patty, you were at the demonstration today. And let's not mention this pastor's name. And the reason I say that is my firm belief is the only reason they're doing this. Well, I'm saying nobody could be that hateful. Either he's a potential gunman himself, or he's doing it for publicity, and all he wants is to hear his name on every news channel tonight, and he's out for the publicity. So let's not even mention his name. But what happened over there?
Well, I mean, you say possible gunman himself. We're thinking possible gay man himself.
Well,
yes.
You know, but at the same time,
otherwise, why would he care?
Yeah, it's, you know, like Jeffress downtown. I mean, mm-hmm. why does he focus on gay people so much? I have no idea. But we got behind this group. I am done. We're done with lots of things, but we're done with that kind of hate. And so we're part of a group today that spread peace and love. And we chanted and we recited the names of the 49 dead in Orlando. We prayed across the street from
it.
It was incredibly peaceful. We had the support of law enforcement. They were there to protect us. Everyone was fully protected.
Now, did this clown, and let's call him that rather than pastor, because he's not a pastor. Let's make one thing clear. This guy for 2 years has been standing in his living room. His wife has been photographing him with a video camera, and they've been posting him on YouTube. And he's just not actually a pastor with an actual congregation because he was trying to claim that his house was a church in this middle of a residential neighborhood. Fort Worth said, no. And he rented a space in this little island town that he's getting kicked out of, apparently.
Yeah, that was the word we got this morning.
Well, you know something? The landlord has a right to protect his property. Mm-hmm. Were you afraid that he did come armed?
Oh, we'd heard that they pack. But that's, you know, that's not going to stop our message. It's not going to intimidate us from going there and saying, you know, this hate is wrong. I mean, I have to do share kind of a funny thing this morning. Evie Lou Pridgen, mm-hmm. Pridge was there this morning, and her hat blew off her head and it was blowing away. And we yelled, "Stop the hat! Stop the hat!" the next one we were talking, "Stop the hat!" Something. But it was it was kind of a funny moment for protesters, you know. And we did savor it.
For anybody who doesn't understand the difference between police and sheriff's department, the police department is within a city. Sheriff's department covers a county. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they overlap. In an unincorporated area where there is no police department, the sheriff's department is it.
The big part of a lot of Texas.
Right.
But yes. The sheriff's department is the law enforcement. The only law enforcement they have.
For some reason, the town of Mayberry has its own sheriff. I don't know if you've ever figured out why. But they do, instead of having a police chief. As somebody in law enforcement who's here, whose job is to protect, along with local police departments, 900 square miles of Dallas County, what was your thought when you heard about Orlando?
Well, first of all, it was pain.
Yeah.
You know, and my folks are trained. We are trained. In an emergency, they can go in, and they can do. You know, they're trained to do that, and they have training times so they know what to do in different situations.
And the equipment and the resources they need.
Yes, they have all that. But we're still human. One of the things that I'm real aware of is our officers do a lot of accidents, and. When a rookie first hits the first accident where a child is hurt.
Oh, wow.
You have to be careful to take care of them also. Mm-hmm. That they see that. And they have children. You know, and they see the child who dies and the mother. And the mother who's screaming for a child. I often tell my officers, there are times when you have to be extremely strong, and there are times when you have to be very tender. Mm-hmm. Wisdom comes in knowing the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when you hear about something like that, you're still an officer. You still want to stand up and say, I want to protect them. I want to do something. Why couldn't some of our folks be there to stop that? But at the same time, we're emotionally involved. I have a lot of GLBT, not a lot, but I have them in my community. And when there's children that are being killed, you know, all our officers have children. Well, the majority of officers are children. Even the Muslim community, you know, when they get attacked, we have folks for us that are Muslim that are working. So we have to learn to be tender enough to take care of the healing at the same time we are protecting mm-hmm. and defending.
The night of the attack, we had a rally at the new resource center, and there were two Muslims who were there as speakers,
mm-hmm.
and you could feel the pain that they were feeling over this incident because they knew that it was an attack on them as well.
But and they're the ones that are being attacked quite a mm-hmm. bit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that amazes me is how is it that every time that an Anglo gentleman gets up and shoots a school, not all the Anglo people get up and say, oh, that's not part of us. We're not like that. We don't do that. But the minute a Muslim gets up and
or a
person of color, you know, you have the community standing up, especially in the Muslim, saying, that's not like us. No, that's not us. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, when do we get past that separation mm-hmm. that they're so different and they have to apologize for anything anybody in their community does? Mm-hmm. Well, we're not apologizing for stuff that people in our community do. Mm-hmm. I think that shows our bias and even some of our prejudice is that, well, you should, you know, or you like that immediately. There's the assumption that everybody else in the community is mm-hmm. just like that. When you don't know that, you have to give them the opportunity to see if it are, and we're gonna limit and we're going to investigate every Muslim in this. Well, are you going to investigate every time an Anglo starts some shooting or a Hispanic starts shooting? Are you going to investigate the whole community? No, but yeah. You do it to them.
It's like wildly double standard, triple standard.
By all means. Mm-hmm. And we as law enforcement have to say, no, we don't have a double standard to anybody. Mm-hmm. To anybody, no matter who they are. We don't have
My synagogue shares a space with the church. And with all of this anti-Muslim and, oh, we're going to shut down the mosques nonsense, we've said to the Muslim community, if yours is shut down, come worship with us.
Come here.
Yeah, there's room for you here.
In every era, there's been the people who have stood up and said, no, you can't do that anymore. And those are the people that have kept us going on the right track. Mm-hmm. So I hope that we are those folks, that law enforcement is those folks, that we stand up and say, no, you can't treat people like that. You know, there's a justice system. If they've done something wrong, we'll bring them into the justice system. And if, unfortunately, sometimes you have to deal the justice system right on the street when you're fighting each other. But we should have that opportunity to treat
And what right do you though. Do as law enforcement where, you know, your county, you cover every city here, where you have a city, I don't want to mention its name, but it's kind of between Dallas and the airport, where you have a mayor who passed an anti-Sharia law because I guess Irving had Sharia law coming up into their city charter or something. But now it's not allowed to when you have a mayor who's so anti, and it's one of the most diverse cities in the country.
But I think things work themselves out. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard about the last election where it depended on one vote. Mm-hmm. And who was that one vote? It was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. The Muslim was that one vote that won the election for the city councilman. I think humanity, spiritual, or the earth, or whatever you want to call it, it evens itself out. You reap what you sow, or however you want to put it, what goes about,
karma.
Comes about,
yep.
Karma,
yep.
You know, however you want to put it. I mean, if you're going to be the one who causes harm, I think that eventually, and that's why I'm glad I'm a peace officer, because eventually somebody's going to put a stop to it. And I always used to say, when I was a federal agent in the drug organizations and all that, there is a time when that has to stop. Help me be the officer right there, mm-hmm. when that's the time.
Yeah.
You know,
because. Yeah.
It has to stop.
But doesn't that present a special challenge to law enforcement when you have the head of a local government who doesn't like those people?
Yeah,
yes.
I can imagine that would be rough.
Yes, but, you know, we can also get sued for mistreating an individual. So it's up to us to continue doing whatever the leadership is saying. Mm-hmm. It's up to us to continue doing what is right. And in discrimination, we can be sued for treating people differently.
We're talking to Sheriff Lupe Valdez, Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez. We're going to take a break. She'll be back with us right after this break. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and Patty Fink. And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Bilal Alel, and I listen to Lambda Weekly.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest is Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez, who is in her
12th year.
12th year. I thought it was 12th term, but it's only 12th.
No, it's 12th year. It's my third term.
Third term.
And, kind of like the president. He's in his second term. Last year of his...
actually, the way to make it easier for people to vote for me, I always say, I'm on the presidential cycle. Mm-hmm. Anytime you vote for a president, you vote for me. Thank you. Anytime you vote for a president, you vote for the shirt. You know, if I'm there, you know, I'd like for you to vote for me.
It does make it easy.
And she's here with your wife or your partner?
My partner. We're not married yet.
You're not married yet. Lindsay.
Key word, yet.
Yeah, we're getting looks.
Why did you bring that up? I'm in trouble already.
Well, today is the first anniversary.
Yes, I was going to mention that. That's where I was going.
Obergefell v. Hodges.
Uh-huh.
But it's not just Obergefell. That was in 2015.
Yeah.
In 2013, we had United States v. Windsor, which you know, Section 3 of the
of
the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yes.
And then in 2003 was the
Lawrence v. Texas.
Lawrence v. Texas. Yep. We got rid of the Section 2106. Well, we didn't get rid of it. It's still in the book.
Unconstitutional and unenforceable.
Right. Yeah, it's unenforceable.
So it's a big day for our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big day for America.
What do you think about that big arc? I mean, it's kind of happened, not Lawrence v. Texas, but on your watch. You've got to see the transformation in an elected official.
Talk about making history again. You know, I often run into some folks, and as you were mentioning earlier, even some people out of town know that I'm the only Latina lesbian in the United States. And when we talk about it, we talk about the changes that have happened. How blessed am I to be in so much history? Mm-hmm. History just continues happening here. In the 12 years that I've been here, we've gone from what one of my instructors, who a guest instructor that I called in to talk to my folks, said they have nothing but gang mentality. They sit there with their arm crossed and look at me like, I'm not listening to you. I just have to be here. We go from that to the same instructor coming 10 years later and saying, my goodness, these folks are just eager to learn and to pick up what's going on, to be better managers. The transition, how blessed am I to not only see it in the GLBT story, mm-hmm. but in many stories, to be able to see this. And I hope that I can continue to see law enforcement become the protector and serve and protect and the service that we need to continue being good law enforcement. But personally, I can honestly tell you that there are times when I went home and cried for pain and other times when I went home and cried for joy. Mm-hmm. Because I would see what would happen. You remember the Rainbow Tavern thing?
Yeah, Rainbow Lounge.
Somebody told me that they approached one of my officers, and I don't even know who it was. And they said, do you think something like that could happen here? And he looked at them and said, do you know who our sheriff is? Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm not even answering that question because that could never happen in our area. I mean, it would, if it happened, it's going to be taken care of. It's going to be, if you do something wrong.
Yeah, since Orlando, if you see a group of police cars around, your reaction should be, ooh, not what crime just took place, it's, ooh, what gay event is going on there?
Well, not everywhere. But yes, that is a neat thing. And what a neat concept that he just brought up. Mm-hmm. The officers are here to help us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of the officers are here to round us up.
Mm-hmm. And put us in paddy wagons.
Yes, yes. Some of us are old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
Last night, my daughter asked random questions all the time. She asked what elementary school I went to, and I told her the Bethune. She said, what is that? And I said, it's named after Mary McLeod Bethune. So I had to explain to her who that was, and she thought it was neat.
I'd say I went to PS-28. If she asked who it was named after, I'd say it was named after PS-27.
Right. So you're already in the history books and will always be. What does that feel like?
I have to make sure that I meant it for the right reason. If I ever get to the point where it's like, oh, look at me, how cool I am, and I do get there. I am human. But then I immediately have to stop and say, who is this for? What are you doing this for? You know, I went in from the very beginning with a purpose. If I can't lead, if I can't be an example, if I can't be a mentor, then why are you there? You know, and even though I don't sit and mentor people daily, you know, there are people who have said to me, because of you, I'm doing this. Because of you, I'm in law enforcement. I was afraid that they would not want me in there. Because of you, I tried out for a city council in a small town. And we have to continue doing stuff for the purpose of doing good for others. When you don't, you lose out. You're the one who loses out. Look at Trump. You know, it's all about him.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear him in Scotland this weekend, right after the EU, the Brexit vote? And they asked him about it, and he said, well, it should be very good for my golf course. We've just renovated it, and there are new holes, and it should be good for tourism here, and a lot of people want to play golf here.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
That was his first. It's about him, always. Always.
Always.
It's shocking.
But we have to continue to get people to make sure that it's about all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's always, you know, and when there was a time when I was very scared and I was very vulnerable and I was in the military and I was a federal agent and actually I went to Barney Frank one time and I said, Barney, I'm lesbian. Are they going to fire me? And they said, well, let me look into it. He wrote me back and he said, they won't fire you for being lesbian, but they'll find something else. Mm-hmm. You know, but mm-hmm. if they ever come up with that. So there was times when I was really scared. But when I look at it in the military and everywhere else, there was people working in the inside and people working on the outside. Look at our community. We have so many straight alliance folks. You know, they continue to help us. So many people in politics. And yes, it is about getting the votes, but they're still helping us. You know, and myself in law enforcement, when I first started, it was the gay sheriff. Now it's the sheriff who's been so successful.
Right.
And
state of the art jail.
We've got state of the art behavior. We've got, you know, we have all kinds of things that we have to put in place. And again, not everybody's in favor of this. I'm not making everybody happy. That's not my job. My job is to be fair and honest with everybody and to do what is best for the community, mm-hmm. all communities. And some people don't like that because you should do what is right for me and my folks, not you and everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so we have to continue to be the type of person that can bring the leadership. Great leaders are never about themselves.
So what kind of reaction do you get when you go to a national meeting of sheriffs or law enforcement personnel?
I used to get ignored quite a bit, but that's not the case anymore. Uh-huh. Because people will say to me, some of the sheriffs will say to me, I don't have 2,500 employees. I have 200. And wow, do I have some issues. I can't imagine how you do it. Look, in 12 years, I've aged 40 years. You know, my face and everything.
You look like crap.
Well, thank you.
You look great.
David, does not speak for the rest of us.
Exactly.
Which is usually the case.
But it's 24/7. I get up first thing in the morning. You look at what happened during the night, and if there's something I need to pay attention to. So they know their issues with 200 people or a town of 24,000. You know, we have 2.4 million people in Dallas County. There's 16 states that do not have as many people as Dallas County. And their budgets aren't as big as mine. Mm-hmm. So those sheriffs realize that I'm taking on a lot. So it's more of a respect now. And I'm a jokester. You know, so
I didn't notice.
So
I thought we had to deal with you real seriously.
So I have to tell you this one thing. I was arguing with one of these, good old boy redneck sheriffs, and we were arguing back and forth, and then I started with my finger hitting on his shoulder, and I started hitting his shoulder, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm pressing 3. 1 is English, 2 is Spanish, 3 is I don't understand what you're saying." So I'm pushing for that number so that you and I can communicate. You know,
hilarious.
So I mean, and this was, and we were in a bar with about 40 sheriffs in the area, so they all start laughing, and this is how, you know, we joke. And another situation, we were at a conference for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, and I walk in with 2 suitcases, and they go, "Oh, typical woman, why?" And everybody says, "With 2 suitcases," and I said, "I change my jeans every day. You know, I don't keep the same jeans." Of course. I mean, I said it smiling, teasingly, but and then another guy says, That's why we starch them a lot, you know. So that's the attitude that I'm with them, you know. And we joke a lot, but they also respect me because they know how much I have to deal with. I have a sheriff that every time we go to a meeting, he sits next to me, and he'll pull up his phone and go, "My 15 inmates are just fine today. You know, I have 6,000. You know, so he does that to me jokingly, but he's also very aware of the stuff that I have to deal with, and which he has to deal with in such a smaller scale.
In a way, he almost has a different job because those 15 inmates of his, he probably checks on them personally.
No, I don't think he does that.
Or close to it. No, but you know what I'm saying. Close to it. It's a much more hands-on.
And I jokingly say, and you call yourself by the same title as me, but that's a joke, you know. We're all sheriffs.
Sure, right.
And
right.
So they laugh and they make fun of my politics, but they'll listen. Mm-hmm. On several occasions, they've come to me and said, "Sheriff, we can't say this in public, and we know you're going to get reelected, so will you please say it for us?" Some of that on gun control, some of that on immigration, some of that on traffic. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't say this, because if we can't say it, our small amount will throw us out. Mm-hmm. But will you say it for us? Because, you know, you seem to have, you know, the folks believe in you, and I want to say to them, that's the same reason you're coming to me, because you believe in me too. Mm-hmm. But so,
and that's leadership, you know, that's leadership. And I think it's so cool now that a young Latina out there can see that you've been sheriff probably her whole life.
Yes.
And says, "I want to do something in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to do something." And, you know, I'm a young person, and I've come out to only my best friend, but wow, I see myself out there someday.
Were you at the state?
Yes.
I shared a story there, and that story has just hit me forever. I was invited to the Misa de los Obreros, which is a mass for the laborers. And so shortly after I got elected, I think it was 2005, and so I went to the mass, and it was a huge mass, and my assistant said, "You better leave before the mass ends or you're going to get bombarded." So I snuck out the side door, and we're walking along, you hear these patty-patty right behind me, and you hear somebody trying to catch up with me. So I turned around, and she said, "Sheriff, can you take a picture?" She said it in Spanish. "Would you take a picture with my children?" And I said, "Of course." So I usually try to get down on child level, take a picture, and as I'm going down, and she's getting her camera ready, she says, "I want to show them in the future that they can be whatever they want, coming from such a poor area and from having nothing, that they can be whatever they want."
Oh,
and I mean,
wow.
That tore
That's
my heart
tear up.
Up
now. Yeah.
That tore my heart up. I literally turned around and cried. I walked outside and I cried. And I said, "God, help me to be the example. Help me to be the example. It's not about me." If those kids in 12 years from now can see that picture and say, "Look, the Latina lesbian became the sheriff," I can become anything I want. I can be an engineer. I can be a lawyer. I can be, you know, whatever I want.
I think you've changed the image of Dallas. And when I say that, I'm not just saying that, oh, you know, Loopy's here, so I'm going to... Whenever I'm talking to somebody from out of state, you know, the image is, oh, Dallas, you know, JR and oil and...
Cowboy hats.
You're right. So we have that terrible image of being, you know, this really conservative backwoods town. And they'll say, "Oh, Dallas, so conservative." And I'll just say, "Yeah, tell that to our lesbian sheriff."
and I've heard some friends say, "Yeah, tell that to our Latina lesbian
sure,
sheriff."
Sure, yeah.
You know. And that is important that we continue to change the image. But it's also important that we give everybody the opportunity to do that. You know, I think I told you earlier, I was being interviewed by somebody in NPR, and they said, from D.C., and he said, "My wife has family in Muleshoe, Texas, or some little town like that, and they've heard about the Latina sheriff."
Wow.
And somebody texted me one day and said, "Did you know you're on the cover of a textbook?" I said, "Huh?" She said, yeah, it's a criminal justice textbook. I just saw it. She took a picture and sent it to me.
Wow.
And said, oh, my goodness, I think I need to find that textbook.
Because that's pretty cool.
Right on the cover of it.
I told you, you are already
cool.
In history books.
It's pretty cool. But, you know, we must live up to our image. We must continue to do the things that are right so that we don't lose that. How many times were you disappointed with even locally our minority elected officials doing something wrong because it put more money in their pocket or because it gave them more whatever? It's like, yes, it's tempting, but we have to get past that. We need to continually be the image that is necessary to bring the rest, your child, bring the rest of the people to a situation where they feel comfortable about who they are.
Right.
I think that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
I've done my sermon for the day.
And we've been to church.
You have, and that's a perfect wrap-up. We're just about out of time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It took 12 years to get you here.
Sorry.
Can we schedule you again for the year 2028?
Okay.
You'll be going into your seventh term.
And maybe you'll be married by then.
Oh, gosh. He's going to get me in trouble.
Now, I know that, Lindsay, you have to schedule time with Lupe. And they've scheduled some time, so we don't want to hold you. So they have time free this afternoon.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Enjoy, Lindsay,
thank you for spending part of your day on this great anniversary, June 26th.
Yes.
Oh, so many gentle things in the LGBT community. Thank you for spending it with us.
Happy Pride. Yes.
Yeah. Happy Pride, everybody. And we'll be back next week. Our guest is
Linus Spiller.
You're going to New Orleans, Patty.
Yeah, I'll be out of town.
So we'll see you the week after that. And we'll see you next week on Lambda Weekly.
This is William, hopefully your favorite videographer from Two Hats Publishing. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you like it, please leave comments below or like, follow, or subscribe to us and get notices of all our videos. We love it, even when you call.